Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
Burn a flag or a bank? Not quite that easy. No problem that affects a lot of people is that simple to solve. Not everyone who feels the same pain agrees on where it comes from and what to do about it. And there's always that counterforce that wants to change everything back again. Some things change slowly, some things never do. And nothing's gonna change till we who want the change have a better understanding of why different kinds of people want what they want and think the way they do. Do we hear them too? Or do we disown and demonize them just like we say they do? Not everyone who feels the same pain agrees on where it comes from and what to do about it. Or do we disown and demonize them just like we say they do? Some things change slowly, some things never do. There's nothing the police love more than to watch us turn off everyone we think we're trying to help by splitting into nitpicky, power-trippy, backbiting factions and tear each other apart. I want to be leader. No, I want to be leader. Blah, blah, backstab. If you don't agree with me on everything, then you must be against me. That's poison. And tear each other apart. That's poison. Anyone who's not a vegetarian is evil. All rap is bad because some rap gangster rappers are sexist. If you don't believe every word of the Bible, you're a Satanist. If you're not gay, you must be homophobic. If you look at me wrong, it means you're a racist. Criticize Israel, it means you hate Jews. Caught wearing lipstick, you must not be a feminist. Divide. Do we disown and demonize them just like we say they do? Let the unified few keep the quarreling majority from sharing in what's rightfully everyone. Divide. In these times, we can't afford to get caught up in stupid-ass, blind, one-issue fundamentalism of any kind.
And tear each other
divide, apart. Stupid-ass, blind, one-issue fundamentalism. That's poison.
If you so much as disagree with me in any way, listen to music I don't like, dress funny, laugh without permission,
divide.
By splitting into nitpicky, power-trippy, backbiting factions and tear each other apart.
I want to be leader.
Blah,
backstab. Divide. There are too many different kinds of people in this world, in this country, in this building, in this neighborhood, to hide behind isolationist toxic chicken shit anymore. The cutthroats that run things, cheat and kill to get where they are, we got nothing but our hearts and our souls and our energy. But look what that's done as a simple spark starting fires throughout history, all over the world. Even in America, we stopped the Vietnam War, got rid of the first Nixon. The whole Berkeley Free Speech Movement wasn't planned. It started when hundreds, if not thousands, of people surrounded a police car trying to take a protester away and wouldn't let it move for 32 hours. 500,000 people block a dam in India. as people chain themselves to bulldozers till a dam gets canceled in Tasmania. One more thing the corporate media doesn't tell you is that a few thousand rebels, if that, in Chiapas, Mexico, have uncorked such an outpouring of nationwide revolt that people by the thousands are demonstrating against the country, the government and inequality somewhere in Mexico every damn day. Corporate dictatorship is headed for a train wreck, and that train wreck will happen in our lifetime. And if we ain't ready to cut the crap and work with each other and different kinds of people, zeroing in on what's really important and have an idea on what we each gotta do to it right, we will get fooled again. We will get fooled again.
By Dubai's government has purchased the rights to operate seaports in six major American cities, a move the White House approved without telling Congress. If you're wondering why Dubai is being rewarded with these contracts, it is not because Dubai is a monarchy that offers its guest workers no rights, or because Dubai was the home base of two of the 9/11 hijackers. It's actually just quid pro quo because they took Michael Jackson off our hands. Now, spurred by fears of security risks and angry over the deal's secrecy, legislators from both parties vowed to stop it.
Our legislation will go to the floor, House, Senate, next week, and it's going to pass like a hot knife through butter.
We are going to be all over this deal? Like chocolate on a Malamar? You can take that to the fixins bar. I should never hold a press conference before lunch. The deal is even Was that just too Jewy? Is that what it was, folks? Is that? I could taste your discomfort.
Hi, this is Dickie Richards, former child actor. For a limited time, for only $19.95, I am availing to my fans an instructional DVD entitled Become a Judo Master in 3 hours or Your Money Back. In it, you will learn the ancient Jewish martial art of Judo, spelled J-E-W-D-O. This is not to be confused with the Japanese art of Judo, which takes years to learn and gives you no instruction whatsoever on how to really kick a guy's fucking nuts in. Just to give you an example of the awesome power of Judo, Bruce Lee didn't die of a drug overdose, nor did he die of fatal wounds received while fighting a Bengal tiger. Bruce Lee died because I killed him. Now, I want to make it clear that I didn't mean to kill Bruce Lee. I killed him accidentally in a fight scene while shooting the sequel to Enter the Dragon, entitled Enter the Kibbutz. I was playing Bruce Lee's nemesis, an evil Hasidic boy who was an expert in Judo. Poor Bruce Lee on his deathbed said to me, quote, "Dickie, I don't blame you for killing me. My kung fu was simply no match for your judo," unquote. So I want you to order your judo instructional DVD now before it's too late. Quantity is limited. Call 1-800-BIG-KILL. That's 1-800-BIG-KILL. Operators are standing by.
My presumption is, and my belief is, that the president and his secretary of state, the Defense Department, and others have adequately cleared the Dubai government to organization to manage the ports.
Jimmy Carter agrees with Bush. Actually, Carter's belief that the president cleared Dubai's management makes one fundamental assumption, that the president knew about it. But today the White House said that Bush had been unaware of the port sale until after it had already been approved.
He learned about it over the last several days. I mean, I couldn't pinpoint the exact time, but the last several days.
Found out through news coverage. Is that what you're saying? How did he find out about it?
Yeah, I think initially, Steve, when this was becoming more, it was getting more press coverage, that's how he found out about it. That's correct.
Since 9/11, I, as your president, vow to occasionally watch the news for any information about whether or not we have sold our ports.
Isn't there anyone in the administration with credibility about our national preparedness who could take to the Sunday morning talk shows and explain what the hell is going on here? Oh my God, it's didn't know New Orleans was underwater guy.
The actual details of the discussion, of course, are classified, so I can't talk about them. Again, I'm not going to talk about classified matters. You're not going to get me to talk about classified matters. Yeah, I don't want to talk about a classified process. Congress is welcome to look at this and can get classified briefings. It's a classified process, classified information.
You know, in hindsight, President Clinton should have just stamped his classified. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's didn't know New Orleans was underwater guy. A firm owned by Dubai's government has purchased the rights to operate seaports in 6 major American cities, a move the White House approved without telling Congress.
The actual details of the discussion, of course, are classified, so I can't talk about them. Again, I'm not going to talk about classified matters. You're not going to get me to talk about classified matters. Yeah, I don't want to talk about a classified process. Congress is welcome to look at this and can get classified briefings. It's a classified process, classified information.
It's didn't know New Orleans was underwater guy. But today the White House said that Bush had been unaware of the port sale until after it had already been approved.
He learned about it over the last several days. I mean, I couldn't pinpoint the exact time, but the last several days.
So he found out through news coverage? Is that what you're saying? How did he find out about it?
Yeah, I think initially, Steve, when this was becoming more, it was getting more press coverage, that's how he found out about it. That's correct.
Since 9/11, I, as your president, vow to occasionally watch the news for any information about whether or not we have sold our ports.
George W. Bush, a mastermind of September the 11th, together with the CIA, because I needed it, an opportunity to start a search for scapegoats. Let them look to Afghanistan, and above all, Iraq. And one reason is clear. Iraqi oil production. Let's call it the war on terror. Members of Congress, Mr. Speaker, now I desire to tell the truth. I am an asshole. Pure and simple, just the way it is. Just gotta understand that. I am an asshole. Put it this way. My father and mother made him an asshole. I'm sick and tired of games and deception. And let me say one other thing. Dad, I am a mother. I know the folks couldn't believe I'd say such a thing. But it is the truth. We make new discoveries all the time. Take the word of a madman. Osama bin Laden, he may be alive. If he is, we'll get him. And send him off with new socks and shoes. That needs to be fixed. September the 11th, this mother was back in school. We heard a story about goats. Now is the time for stories of goats. And no one will keep that light from shining. And we set a goal to feed the goats. And now I want to spend a little time with a brain doctor. I desire to tell the truth. I am an asshole. I want to be in jail. I need to be in jail. I am an asshole. You know what I'm talking about. Put it this way. My father and mother made him an asshole. I'm sick and tired of games and deception. And let me say one other thing. Dad, I am a mother.
Make no mistake about it.
As I've repeatedly said, I am an asshole. I ask for your forgiveness. Would you please forgive me? And I'll tell you why. I am an asshole. 9/11. In Afghanistan. Iraq. And ghosts. Osama bin Laden. Vice President Cheney. You know what? I am an asshole. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Now the White House is upset because it looks like this story is going to continue. You know, they had it all last week, and then finally Dick Cheney comes off on Fox News and talks all about he's the one who pulled the trigger and on and on and on. And the White House thought that it would be the end of it. Well, no, apparently not. And now the White House is responding this way.
We here at the White House are anxious to move beyond the Vice President's unfortunate hunting accident. That's why we encourage the press to report other important issues the American people need to know about. Such as Vice President Cheney leaking the name of a CIA operative, his stonewalling of federal prosecutors, his shady Halliburton dealings, his sweetheart tax giveaways to fat cat contributors, his call for expanded drilling to benefit oil buddies, his efforts to block campaign finance reform, his being in the pocket of big business, his allowing lobbyists to author energy legislation, his secretly crafted health care proposals which benefited pharmaceutical companies, and his manipulation of intelligence which led us to an unnecessary war. Dick Cheney, just a big bowl of bad.
A big bowl of bad.
Look at what
what this did. This got Abu Ghraib off the front pages. It got Chertoff off the front pages. While we're here talking about the idiocy of him shooting his friend, we're not talking about the major, major problems that this administration is having. That's clever PR. That's not bad PR. Look at what this did. 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 This got Abu Ghraib off the front pages. It got Chertoff off the front pages. While we're here talking about the idiocy of him shooting his friend, we're not talking about the major, major problems that this administration is having. This did. This got Abu Ghraib off the front pages. It got Chertoff off the front pages. While we're here talking about the idiocy of him shooting his friend, we're not talking about the major, major problems that this administration is having.
It's interesting what you say about the middle class blinding itself, protecting itself from what is happening to so much of the population. And this is so much the history of the United States, which developed perhaps the largest middle class. The United States has had enough wealth so it could bribe enough people in the population to create a middle class, which became useful as a buffer between the very rich and that part of the population which could not even rise into the middle class. And so the middle class in the United States has always been sort of enticed by the establishment into thinking that it can rise into the upper class and not told that it can also descend. The result is the United States educational system teaches us from the very beginning that we're not a class society. To use the term class in the United States, it's just a term you use for school, right? This is my class, you know, thing. And yeah, but the idea of a class society is something that has always made people in power nervous. If anybody brings up the idea of class, class conflict, class struggle, you mustn't talk about that. And we're brought up in the United States to believe that we're one big happy family.
And aren't you?
We all have the same interest. We have the language to try to make that imprint on the American people, the language of national interest. The phrase is national interest, we all have the same interest. Exxon and I have the same interest.
Enron and I.
Enron and you. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a perception that people in the United States have growing up, especially people in the working classes of the United States, they know that their interests in Exxon are not the same. And they show it,
Well, the thing is, in India, it's so complicated that sometimes the longer you live there, the more confused you get, because it's when you think of class in India, you have so many other things too. You have caste, which is a complex business, because I grew up in Kerala, which had the first ever democratically elected Marxist government in the world. But all the leaders of the Marxist party are Brahmins, So it's a very complex way in which they use all these things to the Indian democracy must be one of the most fascinating beasts on earth. And then you have such a complicated network of region and religion and language. So you have a situation where you have a country where we have, I think it's 18 or 19 official languages, and then there are hundreds of dialects. And you can't, the Supreme Court functions in English, nobody can understand what's going on in there. I mean, even if you speak English, you can't understand. But imagine when they gave a judgment about me, they said, vicious stultification and vulgar debunking cannot be permitted to pollute the pure stream of justice.
That's what you were doing.
And that's what I was doing, but I had to really look up the dictionary to figure out what they meant. And at the end of it, they just kept saying, but the respondent is not behaving like a reasonable man. And at least I can follow what they're saying, but you know, the people from the Narmada, they have no idea what is this court and how do you file a police case, or if there's a police case filed against you, what does it say, what are you, so, you know, so it's like living, it's like, I keep thinking, it's like if I were living in Czechoslovakia or something, how would I function? And that's the way most Indians have to function in India.
Experience. There's a lady down the hall who paints butterflies and insects and there are little statues in the room. She works with clay. And I went in there and I sat on the couch and had something to drink. Then I noticed one of the statues had his back turned to us. He stood there brooding, poor bastard, and I asked the lady, what's wrong with him? And she said, nah, I messed him up in front, sort of. I see, I said, and finished my drink. You haven't had too much experience with men. She laughed and brought me another drink. We talked about clay, death of Cummings, art, survival, and so forth. You ought to know more about men, I told her. I know, she said. Do you like me? Of course, I told her. She brought me another drink. We talked about Ezra Pound, Van Gogh, all those things. She sat down next to me. I remember she had a small white mustache. She told me I had a good life flow and was manly. I told her she had nice legs. We talked about Mahler. I don't remember leaving. I saw her a week later and she asked me in. I fixed him, she said. Who? I asked. My man in the corner, she told me. Good, I said. Want to see? She asked. Sure, I said. She walked to the corner and turned him around. He was fixed, all right. My God, it was me. Then I began to laugh and she laughed. And the work of art stood there. A very beautiful thing. A very beautiful thing. A very beautiful thing.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production.
A very beautiful thing.